On the show today, we have Humanity's very own Jill Nowacki talking about her new human capital consulting firm serving credit unions nationwide. You got to check this one out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and you guys are in for a special treat today. We have the one and only Jill Nowacki from, well, I was going to say the Connecticut Credit Union League, but now I get to say Humanity. So congratulations on all that. That's really cool.
Thank you, Mike. It is cool. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. And I also want to mention that this is an international call. Jill, you're telling me that you're in Spain right now.
I am, yes. So one of the beautiful things about a chance to work with a national body of clients means that I'm already getting to practice the chance to work remotely, and in this particular case, I'm getting the chance to work remotely from Spain today.
Right. Well, you're really taking it to the extreme. Well done. Yeah. But we all need vacations and stuff like that, and have a little bit of fun as well. That what we were talking about before the recording, that work-life balance, and so you are living it right now. But I want to get to Humanity, and the spelling of it and all that type of stuff. So give us a quick overview of this new venture or even adventure that you're on right now.
Yeah. In an adventure for sure. It definitely feels like a really exciting opportunity to pursue a calling that I've felt pretty attracted to for a while now. So Humanity is a human capital strategies firm. We're specifically starting out working with credit unions, but we do believe that the work we're doing with human capital is something that could absolutely extend beyond the borders of the credit union industry.
Yeah.
Because it's something that is so critical to all organizations, and really, the workforce is changing, and so workplaces need to change along with that.
Mm-hmm.
My personal passion, and certainly Diana Dykstra's as well, is with the credit union industry, and so we are absolutely gung-ho and excited about the idea of being able to work with credit unions to make them the workplaces of choice.
Indeed.
But many of these organizational growth plans and what we're looking at would really translate well outside the industry as well. And the reason for that is because all organizations so far, regardless of who they're serving, are still involving humans. And so and what we see, though, sometimes is that the human capital strategies aren't necessarily being strategically integrated into the organizational growth plan.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as much as we tout the idea that humans are our greatest asset, we don't really prioritize them that way when we're talking about business planning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the idea, is that Humanity really puts the human at the forefront of that and provides credit unions the opportunity. So even if they're technology focused, or even if they're lending focused, or if they're looking at growth through expanding field of membership, we talk about how to integrate their human capital strategies to leverage those and get the most out of the rest of their business plan.
Is this kind of answering the call for what Filene keeps talking about, or their studies about the war for talent right now? Because a lot of credit unions, I think, and you hit the nail on the head too. This hits all industries, looking for that ideal talent, and then once you get them, retaining them and all that type of stuff. Is this kind of answering that call as well? Is that kind of what you had in mind as well?
It is. I think Filene's done some great research right now to look at the demographic shifts in the workforce and what's happening. And I think there is so much more that needs to continue to be looked at as well. And I know they're committed and they're continuing down that path too. An interesting study I was just reading yesterday, it was PwC's study, and they always do kind of a workforce examination. And specifically for 2019, they looked at the talent shortage specifically in financial services, because it turns out that the financial services industry is actually doing worse than other industries.
Oh, wow.
So everybody's looking at this huge skills shortage and talent shortage that's likely to come up by 2030.
Yeah.
But what they found specifically was that in financial services, most of the way that the organizations, not just credit unions, but anybody working in financial services, they haven't elevated their workplaces to that human first consideration that employees are demanding today. So, we started talking out about the kind of the work-life balance side of it. And something that's really interesting, and it's not just millennials, but people are beginning to see how technology can help them be more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And people are moving in and seeing these opportunities for contract positions or to get involved in the gig economy and to do things where they have a lot more control over their time and the way they're working and how they're working. Mm-hmm. And they're understanding that the tools are now available to let them work when it works best for them.
Right, right.
And in financial services, we haven't really adapted for that. We haven't really accommodated for that. So when you've got somebody who's coming out and they want this flexible work life and they're weighing their options, financial services might not look like the best fit,
yeah,
but there really are ways we can adapt for that, I mm-hmm. think, as financial services industries too.
Is it because the traditional hours of financial services are so rigid that you know, that flexibility isn't quite there yet? So I'm just kind of grasping at straws here, but
So I think you're on to something, and I think it's that we have this sort of traditional banker's hours history. And so we haven't really looked at how to create around that, how to innovate around that, how to make that different. Mm-hmm. We're going to be forced to, though, because here's the thing. If you have somebody who graduates out of college and they're excited to go start their career and they're offered a job at the credit union where, you know, in the they have, 5 days of paid vacation that they have to take consecutively so that we know they're not stealing from us, and they are able to take their 15 minutes breaks during this time, and they must work from this time to this time, mm-hmm. and they must be at their workstation. And oh, by the way, their workstation is locked down, so they can't access YouTube or social media during their regular work hours, even though they may see those as great opportunities to help perpetuate the business that they're doing. And by contrast, their buddy, who graduated with the same degree, is picking up clients from all over the world, working wherever they want, working whenever they want, and, the paid vacation is not offered to them, but it doesn't matter because right. they schedule their time when it works for them.
Right.
And we, I think, traditionally have relied on things like being able to say, yeah, but we offer benefits. And even that is really, you know, for a 23-year-old, you can stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 25.
That's right.
That's not even that compelling.
Got that right. Yeah, yeah.
So I think we have a lot of opportunity, and I think we do end up with this idea that, you know, it's difficult when we have a teller line to be able to say that you can work your teller line from anywhere.
Right.
But we're seeing technological advances with a lot of credit unions, you know, ITMs, for mm-hmm, example, mm-hmm. that do really create possibilities that go beyond what we've typically done.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because the kind of the re-engineering or the evolution of the branch is calling for more of a self-service environment or a consultative environment rather than the traditional teller line, all that type of stuff, where I think you could have the flexible hours for folks that work in these branches. So I think there's something there, definitely. Definitely. So I want to get to the spelling of humanity, because I first saw this and I was like, humanity, what? And then then the light bulb went off and I went, oh, okay. Humanity. But tell me about the last three letters, the DEI. So tell me about those letters real quickly.
Yeah. So DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, definitely something that as of late bubbles up a lot, not just in credit unions, but, you know, out in the world as a whole.
Yeah.
They're sexy right now. They attract attention right now. Mm-hmm. Specifically with the name, we intentionally named it with the stronger emphasis on human. The DEI focus does give a nod to the fact that we recognize human capital strategies need to focus on being inclusive of whole humans. We need to be looking for all the unique traits and talents and values and strengths that come in, because we know that those cultures that encourage people to show up as their whole selves, those inclusive cultures, are the ones that perform best. Mm-hmm. So from a strictly business perspective, mm-hmm. they are the ones that are performing better financially. They're retaining more engaged workforces, statistically speaking, mm-hmm. and they're actually moving toward innovative practices better and new ideas. So when you think about financial performance, innovation and growth, and a retained workforce, those are all the metrics we're looking for long-term relevance.
Yeah.
And if you know that diverse and inclusive organizations, teams that are diverse and balanced, and organizations that encourage them to show up as their whole selves in that are the ones that are performing better, we know it's important for any human capital strategy to be deploying those DEI tools as part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like the proof is in the pudding there, pardon the pun there. So yeah, so I think it works. So it works. And so what does this mean to credit unions? Because I mean, this is kind of in the credit union wheelhouse too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The idea that, you know, statistically speaking, and I guess, so one of my favorite CUNA employees, Richard Ghost, he's the SVP over the political side there.
Yeah.
He always has all sorts of different anecdotes. And one of my favorites that I've heard him use a lot when he does polling data is the whole idea that, you know, numbers don't lie, but liars use numbers. And so there is definitely a way, regardless of what we want to look at, that we can present statistics differently.
Yeah.
But depending on what we're looking for, whether we're looking specifically in the credit union industry or even if we're looking at something like, you know, the Fortune 500 list of companies, we know that the gender wage gap persists, and we know that in credit unions, at the kind of largest, most nationally prominent, in those leadership roles, most of them continue to be filled with white men, mm-hmm. and at a rate that's disproportionate to the rate that they exist in the general population.
Right,
and
right.
So there's not, you know, we don't have the people of color, the gender balance that we, when we talk about what our 7 cooperative principles are, mm-hmm. and we talk about being inclusive and representative of our memberships, our leadership is not necessarily representative of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you look at, you know, what's truly the top positions in credit unions, you know, the chairman of the board,
yeah.
that top leadership position and the
yeah.
volunteer position, that is also consistently, disproportionately, you know, not representative of women and people of color
mm-hmm.
and minorities that our general membership might be. And
right.
so looking for those opportunities for credit unions to better understand their communities by being led by people who are reflective of their communities and representative of their communities certainly creates that situation where what credit unions can then put out as innovative ideas and
mm-hmm.
can move forward become products and services that are more relevant to the people they're trying to serve.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. Because the understanding is there, the empathy is there, the connection is there. Better.
Well, you want your workforce, your board, your executive suite, all that stuff to represent your customer base as well, or in this case, members. So, and that only helps you better serve them because you can relate to them. You know what they're going through type of stuff. So I think it's a no-brainer all the way around for sure. And you guys are right there in the middle of it. So well done on that.